Previously on the Tony Kornheiser Show.
The reason that we spent so much time at the Otisaga Hotel in Cooperstown over the course of our lives is because Steve and Anita said, you should go to Cooperstown, take kids to Cooperstown, and then we started going and went a lot.
They also took you on a very memorable canoe trip.
Yeah, I fell out of the canoe.
You fell out of the canoe?
You
ruined the picnic lunch.
I did. All the lunch fell out, and I fell out. I'm not a canoeist.
Yeah.
I'm not good with water.
The Tony Kornheiser Show is on now.
All righty then. Look, there's no other way to begin a podcast on a Monday after the weekend that we had without saying that's as great a sports weekend as anybody has ever seen. You had college football that included Alabama getting beat at the buzzer by Tennessee. Tennessee hadn't beaten them in 15 years. It's Alabama. They don't lose.
Yeah.
They don't lose. They got beat. USC got beat. Michigan rolled Penn State. Oklahoma State was up 14 points at one point and lost to TCU. James Carville was 4-0 on the weekend. He had Tennessee. He had Michigan -7. He had Oklahoma State. TCU was -4. They won by 3. He had that. He had Buffalo over Kansas City. He was 4-0. I don't even want to tell you what happened with Chuck Todd.
Oh, no.
You know, it was brutal.
Because he won the first match, right?
He won the Washington thing. He's now lost 5 in a row.
Oof.
Heading into tonight.
Does that mean the Monkey had a good weekend?
The Monkey was 2-1 and is now 11-7. Chuck Todd's going to be under 500. Jeff Ma was 2-3. That's his first losing week of the season. You know, this was a tough week.
So if you're betting with Carville and Reginald, you're making money.
You always bet with a monkey. But that's just the college football. You had, again...
Did you see that Tennessee's going full Masterpiece Theater? Did you enjoy watching content like this for a mere 52-19 on a bi-weekly basis? You can see more of this in future so we can get new goalposts.
Yeah, they need a new goalpost.
That's right. They stole them.
At Rocky Top, they seat about 103,000. I think it's bigger than the Horseshoe. I think it is. 75,000 were on the field at the end of the game.
Oh, yeah.
It's unbelievable. And that was the college. And I'm leaving stuff out. I'm sure I'm leaving stuff out. The pros yesterday, once again in the early window, had 7 or 8, however many games they had, that were fabulous games. And then you got to Buffalo, Kansas City. And then you got to Philadelphia and Dallas. And then... in the backdrop of that was baseball all weekend long. It was just, if you are a sports fan, I don't know how you come away from Saturday and Sunday without saying, that's the greatest stuff I've ever seen. You could watch it all day and all night. It was wonderful. What are you looking at?
I'm looking at the capacities for college football stadiums.
It's over 100 at Rocky Top.
101, about 102,000.
Yeah.
Michigan at 107,000.
I didn't say Michigan.
You said the Horseshoe.
I said the Horseshoe.
Which is Ohio State.
That's
102,000.
So there's bigger?
And Penn State is 106,000. So
a lot of people. Yes. And they're always filled. They're always filled. It's not like going to a game at Penn. Where there's 4,000 people in a 100,000-seat stadium.
Has a pretty big capacity,
yeah.
Okay?
So
it was also about the pacing of this. You had these little moments where you could retreat from the madness. So after you have that Tennessee-Alabama game, and then you go to extras in the Astros-Mariners.
You just get
to watch dominant pitching for an extra 50 minutes.
So the Mariners, we love Dave Sims. The Mariners, did they get 7 hits in 18 innings? They got some absurdly low amount of hits in all of those innings. And Houston now walks in to the role as the favorite because the Dodgers are out and the Braves are out. And Gerrit Cole, who is, to me, not likable personally, not a likable fellow, he did everything you could, you know, that's why you paid him the money.
Right.
So that he could go 7. Knowing that if they have to win, so they got to throw every arm they've got if Gerrit Cole can't go more than 4 or 5. Now they have a chance today or tonight. It's tonight, right? 7 o'clock. That's a game. I'm going to watch that game. I understand there's a football game. But Denver and the Chargers, Denver stinks.
Yeah.
They have no – Russell Wilson's having a terrible year.
Yeah.
They have
Certainly no particular appeal.
They have, you know, so I'm going to watch the baseball because the winner – you know, advances to play Houston, which I think is the series that more people will pay attention to. You said something earlier, Michael, that with the Dodgers out and Atlanta out, and if the Yankees go out and the Mets are already out, you're going to get matchups that are not as attractive for a national television audience as others are.
Yeah, no, you just start looking at one point you look at the division round and you say, what's the impact of having all these divisional opponents? And now you start to say, what's the impact of having some of these mid-market's not the right term, but you're looking at like a March Madness tournament. You go, we want to see the mid-majors week, you know, for the first two rounds.
But not,
and then we want to see the blue bloods come through.
Yeah, I think that's true. And by the way, yes, what I haven't mentioned,
it's always sunny in Philadelphia today.
Yeah. Philadelphia, I've,
I think Hoskins
said
is still
this,
throwing his bat.
I've said this for 2 years, maybe 3 years. I think their everyday lineup is second only to the Dodgers in the National League. I am not surprised they won. I'm not. I think that they are a good team. And obviously firing Joe Girardi, we'll ask Mark Feinstein about this, firing Joe Girardi was the right thing to do.
But all the small steps from the, you know, the universal DH, the extra wildcard team, to then being able to go through, you know, teams that you know well in a short series.
So it brings up a question, and I'll ask Wilbon about this, and I know what his answer is because we talked about it last night. I like 2 out of 3, 3 out of 5, 4 out of 7. I hate 4 out of 7, 4 out of 7, 4 out of 7 like the NBA has. I hate that. But when you lose all your, and I'm not even going to say marquee teams, when you lose the teams that have won the most games, you have to ask yourself, is there something that's unfair here? Is there a bias here that we are not aware of? Is the rest not a good thing? I think they have to consider making the second series 4 out of 7, or at least show me that this was an anomaly, that this isn't the way it's going to happen all the
time.
Unfortunately, because when division teams play division teams, if nothing else, they're not afraid of them. They're not afraid of them.
And that just seems like the recipe is that's going to happen more often than not just because of that extra wildcard team and the likelihood that you're going to get three teams from one division where it sets it up for two different possible times to meet them.
And I haven't even, now concentrating on baseball and college football, I haven't even talked about what I think, when you look back on this particular weekend, maybe the story where you say, how did that happen? The Green Bay Packers are dissolving down the bowl.
Yes.
They lost at home to the Jets. I don't care what the Jets' record is. Please. I don't care. The Jets and the Giants, I don't care. You lose at home to the New York Jets? You're not close in that game?
Yeah, that was
Aaron Rodgers. You know, at some point you say, enough of this guy. Enough of his life. Enough of his foibles. Enough of his anti-vaccination positions, you know, throw the ball in the end zone, and he's not doing that this year. Because people will forgive anything for results, and there are no results this year. That's been terrible.
So we didn't get a relax yet?
We haven't heard relax. Maybe we'll hear that today. He's behind at the moment someone named Bailey Zappi. Bailey Zappi is 2-0, right?
Yeah.
And killing it.
Yeah, they look
Bailey
good.
Zappi is killing it as a starter. He's 2-0. He went for 309 and 2 touchdowns. He was 24-34. That's
he might have lost
healthy
the
percentage.
He might have lost the first game he played. But I don't know.
Yes, but yeah, he was not the starter.
That's right. Oh, that's right. Yeah.
He's 2-0 as a starter because his starter numbers matter. Cooper Rush's numbers matter now. He hadn't had interceptions, and he hadn't lost a game. And now those people that are saying, oh, he may be better than Dak Prescott, now they need to shut up.
Yes, exactly.
Because he's not better than Dak Prescott.
Right.
He's not. He did a great job. And Philadelphia, they're good. I didn't want to say that. Didn't want to believe it. Jalen Hurts, the MVP right now. You might argue for Josh Allen. I wouldn't because Josh Allen has been this good for a couple of years.
Well, wasn't that a fun game?
That was a great game. But yeah, I would tell you that Jalen Hurts is the MVP right now.
Sure.
They look good.
Today would be a great day to be driving through the general Philly area just to hear the explosion that is local radio.
It's WIP, yes.
They're great fans, right?
The best.
They are.
They're crazy.
Great fans. They're not. They turn on you in a heartbeat, but they're great fans.
Yes, they're very passionate.
They're great
fans.
Very
passionate.
I've always thought that. I mean, you were there for years.
Yeah,
you
but it's just, it's the back and forth between what the Phillies did, what they did in that final road stretch to then get those away games against the Cards.
Yeah,
just now amazing. They get to host an NLCS game.
Matt Ryan had a great game.
He did.
He'd been given up for dead. He had a great game. That was, The Dolphins actually could have won their game if that guy Waddle doesn't fumble.
Yeah. They were right there. Right there.
You know, for a fifth-string quarterback or whoever was in that game.
Yeah, I think it was Bridgewater at that point. He came back in.
Oh, did he?
Yeah.
Okay. So it was a million things that happened.
Does Tampa Bay concern you?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Tom Brady let him down the field and then just didn't get the two-point conversion. Yeah, he looks older. I'm not saying he looks old. He looks older. But yet there's been twice this year when he's had to go down the field at the end of the game, and he has gone down the field at the end of the game and produced a touchdown. There's something else wrong with that team, and I don't know what it is. They wait a long time to score touchdowns.
Yeah.
They kick too many field goals. They don't actually – I suspect that their red zone percentage is not good. But the weekend, if you like sports – it's a fantastic weekend. Just fantastic. And we don't have to be burdened by sports that don't matter, because all the sports that mattered were great. So we will take a break. Michael Wilbon will be with us when we return. Later in the show, Mark Feinsand will try to cover all of it. I am Tony Kornheiser.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
Make the ladies in Bean Town happy. Up in New England where they call a milkshake a preppy. Zippy Zappy. Tell you about a Zippy Zappy. He can make a hippie happy and a devil get my girl school. I can barely remember Mac Jones. Can you? Zippy Zappy. Zippy Zappy. Sit down on my lap. Tell you about a hero who can beat you 10 to 0. Story told.
It's got a very Love and Spoonful feel by Dan Byrd.
Did, didn't it? Yeah.
Zippy Zappy. He turns it, doesn't matter what we say, he turns it into a song immediately, and he plays in Michael Wilbon. Wilbon and I talked yesterday. It's one of the great sports weekends that anybody could ever imagine. College football, baseball, pro football. Just Alabama going down, Green Bay going down, just tremendous. Just right? I mean, didn't you find yourself watching everything that you could watch?
Yeah, Tony, I was doing a sampler platter, yeah. I watched a lot of baseball, but like you said, not exclusively anything, because there's a ton of stuff on. And you and I did not grow up at a time where people had to follow a league. You know, you followed sports.
Yeah.
And that's what you did, and this weekend was tremendous.
That's how I felt. You know, college football started it off. Tennessee, Alabama. I didn't stay up for USC, Utah. I know you did. Michigan, Penn State.
Oh, yeah.
Oklahoma State, TCU. These were great games. I mean, the Michigan game wasn't a great game, but I felt good for Michigan because they often lose these games. And now they can head into Ohio State knowing that the winner of that game, right, goes to the playoffs. We assume that, don't we?
Yeah, but there's a whole lot of stuff before that, and that's where Michigan's gotten tripped up anyway the last couple of years. I mean, Michigan doesn't dare look to November 20th. They don't dare do it. They don't dare.
What do you?
I'm still not convinced they're really any good.
Okay. What do you make?
Maybe they are. But
what do you make of Tennessee, Alabama?
They can trip up, Tony. They can be tripped up. You know, any number of games.
So what do you make of Tennessee, Alabama? The fact that they beat them. The fact that they beat them late, that they both scored a million points.
Well, I mean, people have known about this offense, and is it different was the question. Because Alabama, I watched that game at the Members Grill at Columbia with a lot of people you know.
Yeah.
And it was like 21-7. Was it 21-7 at one point, Alabama down?
Yeah.
And I just said,
they're coming back.
Tennessee's going to lose this game.
Yeah.
Well, and it's, you know, what are you talking about? And Jesse was ready to kill me. I said that Alabama's going to win the game. And Alabama you know, probably should have. They were not out. It was even by God, 49 all. 49
so,
all.
So many points.
Just insane.
So many points.
In the SEC, just, isn't that the whack?
You know, and this these are teams
the game
that
itself was so entertaining.
These are teams that will have 3 and 4 defensive people drafted in the first round.
Yeah.
And they scored that many points. They scored that many points. It's
well,
I love the Alabama quarterback.
Offensive people drafted in the first round at some point too.
Yeah. I love the Alabama quarterback. Too small, but love
him. What they're known to do was not what happened on Saturday.
That's right. That's right. All right, let's get to the baseball. Because it's your phrase and I cannot dispute it, but it makes me sad that the Dodgers are a dynasty of one. Talk about the thoughts that we have, the difference between going 162 games and then going 3 out of 5.
Yeah, well, this is why, look, what used to make Boswell crazy, Tom Boswell, the great Tom Boswell crazy, when people ask for more playoffs in baseball, because you play 162 games. They're not like the others. It's not 16 games or, you know, 81. You play 162 games. That tells you who is built for the long haul. The regular season is a marathon. And the people who, you know, keep baseball, they sort of refuse to deal with it that way and see it the way that others have seen it. They want to look at it through 162 plus these playoffs. And when you have these playoffs, you sort of undermine the sport to me when you have all these rounds of playoffs in baseball. I don't feel bad for the Dodgers in that, you know. I mean, they benefited a couple of years from things like this too. But, Tony, wow, San Diego, man. To watch those games, I watched those games. I told you I was going to watch them from the beginning. Because San Diego does have the talent. San Diego's talent level, man for man, on that 25-man roster is every bit equal to the Dodgers. Equal. Now, the Dodgers, you may say, wait a minute, they got Kershaw, okay. But you know what? They're players on the San Diego roster who may be the best at what they do in baseball. And you know that, of course, because you know one of the players they stole from your team.
Juan Soto, sure. And Machado, who I can't stand. He's great.
He's a great player.
Yeah.
And so, you know, you said you thought I was rooting for San Diego. No, I wasn't really, because the Dodgers brass, the owners, the front office, these guys are people that are my friends. Including the principal owner of the Dodgers, Mark Walter, Northwestern alum, and it's a guy named Irvin Johnson. Okay, so no, I don't root against the Dodgers. I don't. But I'm looking at these games going, you know what? San Diego's every bit as good, man for man, inch for inch, talented as the Dodgers are.
Would you change the second series to 4 out of 7 or leave it at 3 out of 5, given the fact that they're not going to cut playoff teams?
I might go, but it's hard to do, though. It's hard to go longer because one of the things is, you know, those rounds need to be over so you can get to your championship league championship round, which is 4 out of 7. Tony, I might try to push it to 4 out of 7, but I get the baseball, the sort of the magic of those first two rounds in baseball is that they're shorter.
I love them.
Is that they're not 4 out of 7.
I love 2 out of 3 and 3 out of 5. I wonder if there's a bias. This is the first year we've seen this format. So you have to wait 2 or 3 years before you see if there's a bias for road teams or home teams or division teams or teams that didn't win 110, whatever it is. You have to wait a little while and discover if there's a bias. But I would keep them this way. And, you know, I am not surprised at all. I am surprised that the Dodgers lost. I'm not surprised at all that the Phillies beat the Braves, because I think the Phillies have a really good lineup. And last night, and I'm sure you watched this going back and forth between the baseball and the football, Gerrit Cole, that's why you pay him all that money, right?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's why.
Tony, you know, it's interesting. I am not fanatically devoted to the NFC East, though I have lived here for 42 years in that division, essentially. And you know what? I could have watched in a basement where I have multiple TVs where I watch football all day, every Sunday, all day, every Sunday.
But you watch the baseball.
I forgot the Yankees, Cleveland. I checked in. It was you know, 3-0 and 3-2.
Yeah, I thought they were chipping away. They were going to beat them. I thought Cleveland was going to beat them.
But then I got so engrossed in, you know, Philly, Dallas. That I turned back. It was over.
Yeah, I went the other way. I stayed with the baseball, as long as I could.
The football was captivating. So that game, the Buffalo Kansas City
game
and the Cowboys Eagles were really, really fine sporting events to just watch and become obsessed with.
So there's two things in the football that we're going to get to. Green Bay.
Yeah.
What do you make of Green Bay?
Well, the Green Bay, you know, part of it is their offensive line is not very good. It's not. And so part of the struggles for that team, that offense, are just specifically related to that. And Aaron Rodgers is not going to play around that at 36 years old or whatever he is. And they have a lot of things go wrong, but to me, the offensive line was the glaring weakness yesterday of that team. But I still didn't expect them to lose to the Jets. Oh my!
You can't convince me yet that the Jets are any good. The other thing that I wanted to mention to you was your boy Mitch Trubisky won that game.
Yeah,
he made two long third ands.
Yeah,
and then he ran for a first down to seal it. He played really well, right?
Well, some of us are not surprised,
right? Because you
look, I said this on Chicago radio at the beginning of the year a number of times. Of course, anger people. I said I'm rooting for Trubisky this year, and I think that he will win. That he may not win this number of games because he's on the bench now coming up. But I say he'll win 10 games. Now, he probably won't, but Pittsburgh's not any good.
They're not.
But you know what, Tony?
But he was really good. He and Claypool.
The reason I thought he'd be better is because he's going to get coached.
Yeah.
He's going to be coached well. And he's being that. He was never coached well in Chicago. And he didn't have the players around him that were necessary, meaning primarily an offensive line. So good for him and good for them, and I do root for him. I do.
So let me get to two things that I know we talked about, and I'll set them up. And it is about the sort of craze to go on fourth down, regardless of what time is left in the game. Buffalo. And Buffalo is well coached. They are well coached. And that guy is not a maniac like the guy at San Diego. He's not. They went on fourth and goal with 6:35 left in the first half, down 7-3. They went on fourth and goal. Would you have done that? I would not have done that. I'd have taken the field goal.
No, 7-3, I'm taking the field goal. Dude, I'm sorry, can these guys add? Do they think there's going to be the last score in the game of the night when they do this? I think that, Tony, you know, I've been on a thing for 5 years now that NFL head coaching is the worst it's ever been. The worst. And I believe that. And we have some support sometimes. I know sometimes I don't. And there, you know, football insiders are loath to criticize coaches as much as I do. And it's not even criticize coaching specifically, you know, decision for decision as much as I do. Just the overall tone of it. I look at the coaches. I can go through, and I've done it with Matt Kelleher. I go through the standings from 1985 and 1986 and go coach for coach with now. And to me, it's not close.
I'll give you another one.
Talent.
This is one of your hometown teams. This is Cliff Kingsbury.
Credentials. It's not the guts.
Right.
There just isn't any of the. They would say creativity. I'm not going to say creativity. It's just sort of wild-eyed, you know, gumption. I don't really know what it is, but I don't think much of the coaching, head coaching in the NFL these days. And it is characterized increasingly by just insane decisions on both the two-point conversions and fourth down.
I'll go to Kingsbury, who just got a huge contract extension, and Kyler Murray, and I'm in your camp now. Kyler Murray may be tremendously exciting, but he's, I don't think he's necessarily a Super Bowl quarterback. It's 4th and 3. Arizona, they're on the Seattle 25.
Yeah.
They're down 19-9. There's 10 minutes to go. 19-9, that's two scores. That's 10 points. And they went on 4th and 3. They didn't make it. You wouldn't have done that, would you?
No.
I wouldn't have done
that. I thought that was insane. I don't think much. Can Cliff Kingsbury design plays that look beautiful? Yeah, sure. But I want him as my head coach in the NFL? Hell no.
Yeah, I don't.
And as you know, I told you from the beginning, I don't trust Kyler Murray. Not to be what people projected him to be, which is some year after year stable franchise quarterback. No. I don't.
Yeah, I think I'm with you
and
on that.
And so, my adopted team is the Cardinals. It's not my primary team, but I root for them. And I root for them a lot harder, you know, when they had Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald than I do now. I look at them now and I just go, okay, it's arm candy. When are they going to do something stupid that undermines the day? And sure enough, you know what's coming with that team and that duo.
I think you're right. All right, there's lots to talk about. I'll talk to you later.
All right, Tom, thanks.
Michael Wilbon, boys and girls, we'll take a break. Mark Feinsand will catch us up on all the baseball. When we return, I'm Tony Kornheiser.
In celebration of opening day, we've got a special episode of the Moth Podcast for you. The theme is baseball and the surprising ways it connects people.
I gaze out at the players on the field, and then I look over at my dad, and I realize that in the silence between us that something has changed. It's like I'm seeing him for the first time.
Two stories about baseball, family, and so much more. The episode's available right now. Subscribe to the Moth Podcast to make sure you hear it.
You're listening to The Tony Kornheiser Show.
The Tony Kornheiser Show.
I'm a punter from Scotland. I did come Loch Ness near Aberdeen, the place where I am from. Came over with the Giants to punt in London town, but now they've detained me. I'm punting for the crown. Punting for the crown, laddies, punting for the crown. From Oxford to Westminster, derry, derry down. I'll punt in Old Trafalgar and up in Leicester Square. I'll punt in Piccadilly, you'll find me punting there. I'll punt for Old King Charlie, no longer for the Queen. I'll punt for God and country, the pride of Aberdeen.
Dan Byrne is so brilliant. I don't want to pressure him to come up with songs constantly, but he comes up with songs constantly because he's brilliant and prolific.
Yes, he is.
Plays in Mark Feinsand. Just absolutely great. Absolutely great. So, all right, let's... The baseball has been wonderful. I have the overarching question as to whether 3 out of 5 in this round is fair, but we'll get to that later. Which surprises you more, the Phillies totally dominating the Braves or the Padres beating the Dodgers, a team they could not beat in L.A. all year, and they beat them, and they beat them?
I think it has to be the Padres, only for the fact that during the year, the Phillies were 8-11 against the Braves. So, I mean, they played pretty well against them, and they were able to win a bunch of games against them. The Padres looked like a helpless, little league team against the Dodgers most of the year. And for them to go out there and just lay the smack to them the way they did was just really impressive. And a lot of people were looking at this going, Phillies and Padres for the NL championship, just as we all expected. But this is the beauty of the playoffs. Get hot at the right time and anything can happen.
Do you think that there has to be any rethinking in these two regards? We got in 3 of 4 circumstances in the second round, we got teams from the same division playing. And they're not afraid of each other on any level. I mean, I think it changes the dynamic of the series. And do you think that 4 out of 7 would be better than 3 out of 5 in the second round? Or do you want to live with 3 out of 5, even if you don't get the teams that you figure to get?
I like 3 out of 5. I look at the NBA playoffs or the Stanley Cup playoffs.
Too many rounds.
Just too many. It goes too long. I loved the best of 3 series this year.
Yeah, me too.
In the first round, we got some really entertaining series there. I know only one of them got to 3 games, but there were some really good games in those 2-game sweeps. And then the best of 5, I have a real problem with this series and the length of it, because I think especially it's interesting to look at it and see that both National League teams that won were the ones that came out of the wild card round, didn't have the ability to set up their rotations, right, to have their number one starters going in game one, and they still won the series. So, I thought the disadvantage for the wild card teams going in, not being able to have their number one and in some cases number two guys set up for the first 2 games, was going to be a really big thing.
It wasn't.
And it wasn't.
No.
I think it shows you that whoever the hotter team is going to win, and if it's a best of 7 or a best of 5, chances are that's still going to be the case.
What do you make of the Dodgers? We look back at the Dodgers. They're the best team in baseball for the last 5 or 6 years. They got 1 ring.
Well, I look at them much like I look at the Braves from the mid-90s into the 2000s, where that team won, 14 straight division championships?
Yes.
And had 1 ring. And that team had 3 Hall of Fame pitchers in his rotation and a couple of Hall of Famers playing in the outfield and third base. So I don't know what to make of it. I think baseball's a really hard sport to win. That's why we haven't had a repeat champion since the Yankees, right, in 98, 99, and 2000. It's not an easy thing to go. You can be talented. You can be built for the 162, but you get to the playoffs, and it doesn't always happen. Now, that said, the Dodgers have been in the World Series 3 times. They've been in the NLCS 3 or 4 other times. This is not a one-and-done situation every year, but certainly this year there were some big, this is the second time since 2016 that they've not gotten out of the division series, and it's been a really good run. It's going to be a run that continues, and I think this will not be the last we've heard from the Dodgers, but I think after 111 wins, I remember covering the Yankees in 01 beating the Mariners, who had won 116.
Yeah.
And it was sort of like, well, how is that possible that a team wins 116 games and then can't even get to the World Series? And it's just playoff baseball.
Could you, 162 is not sacrosanct. It was 154 for an awfully long time. 162 just accommodates all the teams that are out there. Could you see any push to shorten the season?
I would love that if you could space out the playoffs a little more.
Yeah.
I think that would be great. Unfortunately, that would be taking away
money.
4 home games from every team and 4 gates, and I think that would be an issue for the teams that would be in the playoffs. I think they would be all for it. The teams that are annually in that playoff race. For the teams that aren't, you're taking some money out of their pocket, and I'm not sure how that would go over. I think the argument against going back to 154 used to be, oh, but the records. Well, we still care about records, but as we saw this year, some of those records are probably not ever going to really be touched now that we are out of the steroid era, right? We saw Aaron Judge get to 62. No one's getting to 73 anytime, I don't think, ever. To go back to 154, I think, would be fine, especially if it enabled baseball to tinker with the playoffs a little bit. But I've been very entertained by these playoffs to this point.
I have never been against getting byes in football, because you miss 1 week of football and you physically heal up. Is it possible, because baseball is an everyday sport, Mark? It's every day. You play it all the time. Is it possible the rest hurts?
I don't think it does, because I think, like I said, it enables you to start your pitchers in the order you want to start them. It enables you to line up your bullpen guys and get them some rest. And, I remember Joe Torre used to say that after the first week of the season, no player is 100%. And then that's just the way it is. And you get to October and people are banged up and it is what it is. Those extra days, I think the teams value them to be able to, heal up some minor injuries, to line up their pitching staffs, et cetera. Do you lose a little bit of rhythm? Perhaps, but we've seen it didn't seem to hurt Houston, right? I mean, they went out and
took
care of Seattle. Took 2 games to get one of them done, but
right.
You know, I think it's certainly, it's always one of those things where when the team loses, then you say, oh, well, they were a little
right.
flat because they rested. And when the team wins, now if Cleveland wins game five, then you'll be in a situation where three of the four teams that had the byes lost. But I think if you asked any manager and any general manager, would you rather have the bye or would you rather have to play the best of three, you'll get a unanimous answer one way.
Get the bye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Gerrit Cole was tremendous. That's everything they needed, right? They needed seven innings. And even though I thought they were going to chip away and beat him, they did not beat him. What do you think of Cole? And what do you think? This is tonight. This is all out there for tonight. And it doesn't look like anybody has any starters left. What do you think the game will look like?
I think the Yankees have beat up on Aaron Civale this year when they've played against him, and I think they better do that early tonight because Cleveland's bullpen
better.
Is relatively rested and much better. So if this comes down to a battle of the bullpens, I do like Cleveland's chances in this game. That said, I could also see the Yankees jumping out and scoring five runs early and making it sort of a moot point. So I think Gerrit Cole did everything that the Yankees expected when they signed him to this
yeah.
monster contract, and all of the bad memories of the fan base of him, you know, not getting out of the third last year against Boston in the wild card game, that should be quieted down a little bit now because he's now pitched, you know, very well in a very big spot. Both starts in this series have been excellent, and this is what you expect. Now, if the Yankees get out of this game tonight, and he faces Houston in the next round, then you'll
tough.
Really see the scrutiny begin.
Yeah.
The team that he signed away from, that will be, you know, the Yankees fan base has been waiting since 2017 for their revenge on the Astros. So this would be, I know they played, 2019 in the ALCS as well, but they still just think, oh, well, they cheated the whole time. And so if we do get Yankees-Astros, it's going to be very, very electric and very angry on certainly from the New York side.
The Astros are really good.
Really good.
They're a really good team. They beat you short, beat you long. I mean, they are a really good team. Let me go to the Phillies because this is an interesting circumstance. I like the Phillies' everyday lineup. I've always liked it. I don't think that it changed much, even though they changed managers. But they changed managers. And that seems to have been a turning point. Am I overstating getting rid of Girardi?
I don't think you're overstating it. Again, I don't know if it's one of those things where it's, oh, well, they needed to get rid of Girardi, or that Ron Thompson did a great job, or that they got a little healthier. I mean, they still, you watch enough of their games, certainly against the Nats, to know they're still not a fundamentally sound team. When it comes to their defense and...
No, they hit. They're not,
you know,
a good defensive team.
They hit.
They
and
hit.
And in a short series, when you're throwing Aaron Nola and Zach Wheeler at a team, that's a tough short series to deal with. So they're sort of an all-or-nothing type team. But right now, they've been hot, and they've certainly got a lineup that can put up runs with anybody. So the Padres have a similar type of a team, and I'm really interested to see how this series plays out. Two teams that didn't reach 90 wins playing for a chance to go to the World Series. So it should be quite a thing. Kevin Long, the hitting coach who used to be down
with
there
Washington.
I think I've heard from a few people that he was a big part of that Renaissance revival as well. And it turns out now he's potentially getting some interest as manager from a couple of the teams that have vacancies. So it'll be interesting to see if, you know, Rob Thompson's got that job full-time now in Philly, but he might be potentially losing one of his top lieutenants there.
I wondered if that, I mean, they did that right at the start of the playoffs. They announced that Thompson was going to be their full-time manager. I wonder if they did that because they felt that would help the team win. You know?
So my understanding is that when you have an interim manager, you still are required by Major League Baseball to go through the entire, you know, a full interview process.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Selig rule of bringing in at least one minority.
Yep.
So they don't want to sort of skip over that. But in a situation like this, where a guy takes over at the beginning of June or end of May, has the kind of success that Rob Thompson had, get to the playoffs, I think the Phillies went to MLB and said, look, we don't really want to put other people through this interview process if we already know that we're going to keep this guy. So they received a special dispensation to skip the interview process for that reason, that you don't want to insult people by bringing them in for interviews because you have to when you already know that this is your guy.
That's right.
So
I agree.
That was my understanding of how that came about in terms of the removal of the interim tag.
All right. Thank you so much. We're going to lean on you during the rest of the baseball playoffs, if that's okay.
I am here.
Mark Feinstein, boys and girls, we will take a break. We have email and jingle when we return. I'm Tony Kornheiser.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
You're listening to the Tony Kornheiser Show.
You stand there in the Safeway like you were eating at the kitchen sink. You walk strategically back to the dairy aisle. The moose guests didn't even blink. You say, what are we doing out here, man? As you watched yourself storm out. Oh, how you wish they had 4% large curd. Must be the Lucerne brand.
Brilliant.
Cottage cheese. You probably think they're hiding it from you. Refugee. I bet you still need coffee ice cream too, don't you?
Just brilliant. Joe Arrow, brilliant. And with... dredging up moose cans, which you can't say anymore.
No.
You cannot get away with that. Moose cans, fantastic. That goes back to that ice cream store, right? Yeah. Gifford's?
Yep. Yeah.
The moose can. Oh, God, right. That is so great. That is so great. You want to do the Bethesda Bagel ad?
Yes, Bethesda Bagels. We love them. You will as well. Just go to BethesdaBagels.com for the location in the D.C. area nearest you. Then pop on in, and you'll be thrilled. Bagel sandwiches on
very
a Monday.
Excited about that.
Very happy
very
about
excited.
That.
That'll just about do it for us today. Before we get to the mailbag, let me say, and I don't know this song. Dizzy in the head and I'm feeling blue. Things you said, well, maybe they're true. I'm getting funny dreams again and again. I know what that means, but can't explain. I think it's love. Try to say to you when I feel blue. I don't know that.
If I said the greatest garage band of all time?
The Who?
The Who. Can't explain.
Wow, I wouldn't have... I know Can't Explain, and I don't know those lyrics from Can't Explain.
Well, there you
That's
go.
That's wonderful.
Yes.
Wonderful. Thanks to our guests today, Michael Wilbon, Mark Feinstein. Thanks to our sponsors today, Freshly Electric E-Bikes. Remember, you can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, Odyssey. If you get the show through Apple, please leave us a review. So we have a lovely haiku here from Shad. And he has encloses a picture with us with this. Let's do this. It's Jeff Pigott, of course, who he is with.
Is that Jeff?
Is that Jeff Pigott? I think so. He writes, new father-in-laws basking in the happiness of their kids. Thank you. And Shad writes, reading my note last week meant so much. I shared it with the father of the bride, and you've gained a new little. Maybe it's a father of the bride. He's the mayor of Urbandale, Iowa, and an attorney. One of his partners is a friend of Jeff Pigott. Once again, the connective tissue of the show is simply stunning. Multiple glasses of 12-year-old Glenmorangie. Is that the name of the scotch? Glenmorangie, is that how it's pronounced? We're raised.
Not sure that one.
So Jeff Pigott went there. Maybe
yes,
that's not Jeff.
Jeff did text me.
Okay.
Yes.
So here's from Claire Natola. We played a form of the new Wedding Crasher game at the wedding of Chuck and Roxy in Connecticut this past spring. Thanks to the Omicron variant, texts of last-minute cancellations were coming into Chuck left and right. As Dina helped Chuck with his cufflinks, I worked the phone, contacting any littles I knew within an hour's drive of the venue. Not everyone could pull it off, but David Patton met the challenge. He was too late for the ceremony, but got to the reception, and really, who cares about anything before the food comes out anyway? We didn't think to yell La Cheeserie to get Chuck and Roxy to kiss, but in the spirit of this new game, it was present nonetheless. And this is a picture of Chuck and Roxy, I assume.
Yes.
Lovely.
Does look lovely.
Okay. From Carla Corrado in Columbus, Ohio. Really like the next littles thing. Crash the weddings in our area to which Mr. Tony is invited, but will, of course, never attend. Please let the littles know that fire extinguisher manufacturer and obviously great wedding gift ideas, Total Safety, is running a sale on their products. You can order your extinguisher gift, order gift wrapped. Use the code, people.
It's a deep take.
From G.W. McLeod. I hope you and the TK gang will join us in Alexandria for my daughter's wedding festivities. While BK Whoppers aren't in the reception dinner menu, plenty of Johnny Walker Blue will be available. Is the Little House available for wedding gift storage? Asking for a friend. And this is Mr. and Mrs. Gregory William McLeod. Request the honor of your presence at their daughter Mary Hart to John Francis Benecke, B-E-N-E-C-K-E, Benecke maybe, the 22nd of October. That's next week.
Yeah.
Right, next weekend. 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the Old Presbyterian Meeting House in Alexandria, Virginia. So I think that did Jeff Pigott go to the wedding?
Yes, he did.
What did he write you?
He said he was going to try and make it, and then he just sent back pictures of him and Chad. So with, I guess, his and hers wedding gifts that he brought.
So there you go. So yeah. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
This is the game.
This is the new game.
All right. From Bill Garner, North Potomac, local Littles. Dan Byrne at Jam in Java on January the 2nd, a great tiny venue. Todd Hart writes, Todd Hart, formerly of Kohler, Wisconsin, now of Sheboygan, Wisconsin. I haven't stopped singing Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama. I think my wife will be filing for divorce soon. From Ade Dapo in Tijuana, Mexico. Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama. Then I hate Dan Byrne. From Andrew Dubil in Winter Park, Florida, by way of Alexandria, Virginia, and Washington, D.C. Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama, Victor Wembanyama.
Gets in your head,
doesn't
it?
That's it. That's the email. From Dan Navin, please ask Jeff Ma the next time he's picking games. When Mr. Tony agrees so emphatically with Jeff's picks, does Jeff second guess his decision? He should. From Zach England in Las Vegas, I think I know how Alex Ovechkin felt when the Capitals won it all. That's the kind of respect that Nick Saban and Alabama demand. Hours after the game, I still find myself breaking it into fits of laughter. 1,136 yards of offense, 102 points, 61 first downs, 2 goalposts, and 1 beautiful James Carville bet. He had that.
Yes, he did.
He had that. Michael Granberry. Hey, Friday's show, Michael Granberry is the arts and leisure person from the Dallas Morning News.
That's
who's given us so many great singers.
Brilliant singers, yes.
Hey, guys, Friday's show was like all others, so much fun to listen to. I much enjoyed the musical guest and hearing Tony and Nigel riff about Austin becoming a Texas version of Nashville. It's true. As evidence, I wrote a story this week about the Texas Hill Country. The Texas Hill Country is where Lyndon Johnson grew up. Mm-hmm. Recently adding 2 big names to its musical lineup. Paul Simon, who grew up in Queens, New York, has moved with his Dallas-born wife, Edie Brickell, of the amazing band Edie Brickell and the New Bohemians, to Wimberley, 37 miles from Austin. Wimberley is a town of fewer than 3,000 where its terrific grassroots radio station, KWVH-FM, recently did a 3-hour interview with Paul, which may be the best interview I've ever heard him give. At one point, Paul picked up a beat-up guitar in the studio and launched into Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard as Edie whistled the melody. He told so many great stories and waxed nostalgic about his days at Forest Hills High School in Queens, where his classmates included a guy named Art Garfunkel, with whom he formed Tom and Jerry, the forerunner to Simon and Garfunkel. And that's why in Only Living Boy in New York, Paul says, Tom, get your plane right on time.
That's right.
For those of you who don't know that and think, I don't know that, I do know that. Tom and Jerry, the forerunner to Simon and Garfunkel. What pleased me most of all was that he mentioned Garfunkel frequently, and each time he did so fondly and favorably. Does it mean there might be a Simon and Garfunkel reunion in Texas? Who knows? If he ever decides to form a duo with any of the local talent, he could turn to Ellis Paul, a frequent presence in Austin, whose music I recently sent you to play on the show. I can see it now. The sensational new group, Paul and Simon. And then he sent the story that he wrote. Let's do a couple more and we'll get out of here. From Zach Drescher. Thought you'd appreciate a word of warning. The woman to whom I'm related by marriage is part of a new mother's group. Now that the kids are all turning one, the moms are planning a reunion of sorts. The problem is they're having a tough time agreeing on a venue. The options range from a backyard to Rock Creek Park to the Kennedy Center. After lots of back and forth, she told me last night that the group had landed on having it at Columbia Country Club. One of the other women is a member, and she could bring the rest of the group in as guests. I had to ask, are you going to play 18 and just hit some balls at the range? She looked at me like I had arrived from the moon. Unfazed, I continued, you going to play the black or the white? You got to remember to stay out of the water on 2. Be sure to pack some payday bars for the turn. There's no chocolate in there, so they won't melt. She left the room before I could tell her about the snack shack at number 8. So if you're planning on going to the club Sunday afternoon, watch out for the group of 7 1-year-olds who are just getting good at walking, and their mothers, who, now that I think of it, may not be there for golf at all. Yeah. And one more from Steve Jackson.
Could've dropped off the captain.
After seeing the right, Kia
yes,
commercials
4 months
on cleaning the beaches for turtles and now saving a tree from the city, is Kia becoming Subaru? From Steve Jackson. If you're out on your bike tonight, everyone, as always, do wear white.
Who makes you excited, Henry?
One soda.
Victor Wembanyama.
Make the ladies in Bean Town happy. Up in New England where they call a milkshake a preppy. Zippy Zappy. Tell you about a Zippy Zappy. He can make a hippie happy and a devil gamma girl school. I can barely remember Mac Jones. Can you? Zippy Zappy. Zippy Zappy. Sit down on my lappy. Tell you about a hero who can beat you 10 to 0. Story told your grandpappy. He looks like old Johnny. You, he's tall and strappy. Zippy zappy, zippy zappy, zippy zappy, zippy zappy, zippy zappy, zippy zappy.
I'm a punter from Scotland. I did come Loch Ness near Aberdeen, the place where I am from. Came over with the Giants to punt in London town, but now they've detained me. I'm punting for the crown. Punting for the crown, laddies, punting for the crown. From Uxbridge to Westminster, derry, derry down. I'll punt in Old Trafalgar and up in Leicester Square. I'll punt in Piccadilly, you'll find me punting there. I'll punt for old King Charlie, no longer for the Queen. I'll punt for God and country, the pride of Aberdeen.